Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are going to have a lot of fun today. Coming up in about 45 minutes, Steven Spector is going to join us in studio. Today is the first day of the NBA. I have a question. Is there anything the NBA could do this season that would get you interested in what is going to happen? We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little pro football. We'll talk a little college football. Joshua Briscoe is going to be on the show today. The Baltimore Ravens got put on timeout. I'll explain what that means. There's a lot of things happening in sports today. We also are going to talk a little bit of KU and K-State every day this week. We are planning on having Lance Leipold on the show tomorrow. I believe Jalen Daniels is also going to be on the show. We're going to have Chris Kleiman on the show. Avery Johnson is scheduled to be on the show this week. So we got you covered, KU and K-State fans. It is very important to me that we cover this game. This is the biggest KU and K-State game in a very, very long time. So we'll cover that today as well. Before we get to any of that, though, I got to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, and as you listen to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock, right here on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, it'd be great if you could tell two people to check out the show, but if you could just tell one person to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate that. And number three, and what might be most important, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. I actually went to The Other Place yesterday to watch a little bit of Monday Night Football and grab something to eat. So if you're looking for a place to watch some college football, a little pro football, the baseball playoffs are starting to wind down, the NBA gets going today, a little NHL action as well, whatever sport you're into, trust me, they got you covered over at The Other Place. So, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we are exactly 2 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline, and the Chiefs have their eye on a couple of different things. Now, we have heard multiple reports. The Chiefs are either interested in a running back, they're not interested in a running back. I don't know. You guys know I have been banging the running back drum for months now at this point, but that's not where I at least want to start the open. We'll get there, but that's not where I want to start. So it feels like the most recent rumor buzz around the Kansas City Chiefs is around their defensive line. If you believe Diana Rossini, and I have no reason not to believe Diana Rossini, she is reporting that the Chiefs are looking more at defensive line than they're looking at running back. Now, we have talked about the inconsistency of their defensive line, and they just lost Omar Norman Lott, it looks like, for the remainder of the season. So they are a little bit thin there. They were already thin. They are thinner now at the defensive line. Rob, it makes a lot of sense to me why the Chiefs would go out and why they would potentially make a move at defensive line, but this would be the thing that I would caution. How much do the Chiefs have to spend where you would feel like they made a significant impact on it. You and I talk about this all the time. We talk about what are problems that are March and April problems, and what are some problems that you simply can't fix in the middle of the season. If the Chiefs do what the Chiefs usually do around the deadline, and I'm not saying this as a negative, but I don't think anybody thinks the Chiefs are spending a second round pick here in the next 2 weeks for next year. I think the Chiefs are going to stay in that somewhere between the fourth round to the sixth round range. That's a real comfortable safe spot. Those are picks that you can always pick back up, whether you move back in the NFL draft, you get one on a compensatory pick, you can always find a spare fourth through sixth round pick if you would like to do it. So, knowing that information, being equipped with that information, how much of an impact player do you think the Chiefs could possibly find on the defensive line that you think could make a difference? Where, if you're willing to spend that same fourth, fifth, or sixth round pick on a running back, I would say that you could make a significant upgrade when we are talking about the position. I don't have the text line open right now, but I'm guessing if I threw out on the text line, would you rather the Chiefs go pick up a defensive lineman or a running back here in the next 2 weeks? I think the answer for a lot of people would be a defensive lineman, and I get it. But my argument would be you could get far more bang for your buck and you can make more of an impact on your roster by going out there and picking up another running back and using that compensation as opposed to what you could do on the defensive line.
So, you know how I feel about running back. We don't need to get into running back. You can get into running back here in a minute. Here's my thing with defensive line and the addition. I agree with you. On the whole, it is going to be more difficult to add a premium pass rushing defensive line type of player because they come at a higher price. I agree with you. But I think the Chiefs are not going to be in the high price premium pay game for any position. So I would be a proponent of adding a Mike Pinnell type or that level of player for a fifth, sixth, or seventh round pick, because right now it's not just the fact their pass rush is lacking. Carrington, have you seen their defensive tackle depth recently? It's bad. There's Chris Jones, who is really good. Then there's Jerry Tillery. Then there's Derek Nnadi, who apparently, according to PFF, stinks. And then there's, I don't know what the other D-tackle depth is off the top of my head. You need bodies at that position. So maybe it's not literally Mike Pinnell, but I will be banging the drum back here, excuse me, to get a defensive tackle with a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick way before a running back.
And I guess I would argue then, if you were telling me that you are advocating for them to pick up a one of those kind of defensive linemen, if that's what you're talking about, then I would say they really didn't make a move then. I would say it is probably best served to just simply wait, see how the waiver wire plays itself out, and then go out there and find that player that way. You remember how they acquired Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell was not traded for. He was a guy who was available. You then looked around and you went out and you grabbed one of those kind of players and you then picked him up off the thing. Now we're talking about the Chiefs potentially using draft pick compensation to go get back guys that they've already had on the team and simply gave away. The Chiefs didn't want Mike Pinnell. Think about it. The Chiefs, equipped with all the information, there is not a team in the National Football League that knows Mike Pinnell better than the Kansas City Chiefs. He couldn't make their roster for them. Now we're talking about you now have to give Cincinnati a fifth round pick to go acquire that player back. That doesn't sound like good business to me. Colin Saunders was another player. He didn't sign for a lucrative free agent contract. The Chiefs very easily could have got him back. You let him go play for another team. Good for him. He got paid by somebody else. Now it's using draft pick compensation to get that player back. To me, that just sets such a bad precedent, and that's just not a good use of your already limited resources that you have. You already traded a draft pick to go get back Derek Nnadi. You now are going to use another draft pick to go get another former player on your team, where if I'm looking at running back, and maybe I'm the only one that feels this way, we're at the middle part of the season. Their running backs combined, the three running backs, Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, and Breshard Smith, they're averaging 3.85 yards per carry. They still have, and I know the passing game right now is dynamic, but their running game is still below average by almost every single metric.
There is not a player in the NFL who has touched the ball more times this season than Isaiah Pacheco that doesn't have a 20-yard gain. So I would argue you still don't have a lot of explosiveness in your run game to take right now an offense that feels like it's trending up. Imagine if you could get noticeably better at running back and at a position that could really add some spark and sizzle to an offense right now that feels like it's operating at a very, very high level. So I understand if people are going to argue defensive linemen. We can take phone calls on this, 913-586-7965. I just don't think that you are picking up a defensive lineman that makes a difference in late October, early November. I think you pick up a name. I think you pick up a body at this point. And trading a fourth or a fifth round pick for a guy that I don't really think moves the needle at all for the team just doesn't seem like a very good use of your resources, especially when you've already done that this offseason and made a trade to go get a defensive lineman. Where's Ashton Gelati at? I haven't said that name in 3 months. We haven't talked about Ashton Gelati. If we're talking about you were expecting to get improvements from players on the offensive side and see the growth and development, that seems like a guy that we should be counting on in the second half of the season that can give you something when talking about the defensive line. So my position on this remains unchanged. I'm cool if I'm the only person that still thinks they need to add something at running back. They're averaging 3.8 yards per carry from their three running backs. I just think they need more. I've always thought they needed more. And I think if you're willing to spend a fourth round pick on a running back, you can get noticeably better at the position, where I'm not so sure if you can do that when talking about the defensive line. We can read your text coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. We'll also talk about the Ravens who got put on punishment today. I'll explain. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
All right. I think this is a very important question to ask while we're having this conversation, debate, however you want to phrase it. 913-586-7965. Right now, I would say the Chiefs are looking for potentially two things as the trade deadline is coming. We are exactly 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. I do think the Chiefs are going to do something. I don't think they're taking a big swing. I don't think the Chiefs need to take a big swing. They're getting a lot of guys healthy. They're currently playing as well as any team in the National Football League. I don't think they're mortgaging the future, so to speak, to go get somebody. The debate right now is, would you like for them to go pick up a running back or go pick up a defensive lineman? Now, I think this is very important, I think, to frame this conversation. Rob, are you looking for a defensive lineman that can get after the quarterback or a defensive lineman to be a part of a rotation and help you stop the run? Because if we are talking about the Chiefs spending a sixth or a seventh round pick and you are expecting that player to get after the quarterback, I think you're wasting your money and your resources. I just don't think that player is available at that asking price if that's what you're trying to do. But if the thought process is we just lost no more arm and lot, we're looking for another body to put in the rotation, then I would say don't trade for anybody. We all know that there are free agents right now that are out there working out that would desperately love to get back in the NFL that you can get for a league minimum and not give up a single draft pick. I'd bring a couple of those guys in and work them out. I bring in a couple of those guys in. You got the bye week coming up in a little bit. You bring somebody in, you work them out, you put them on the practice squad, you elevate them, and you go from there. If that's what we're talking about, because this would be my fear. I was here last year when the Chiefs made a trade to go get Joshua Uche, and we were pointing at a player in 2022 that was really good, that had 11 and a half sacks. He couldn't get on the field last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. He had 7 tackles last year and didn't get a sack and didn't seem to fit. You could have brought Joshua Uche back if you wanted to. He signed a 1-year, $1.192 million deal. He currently can't get on the field for the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, maybe Joshua Uche is just not an NFL player. So my point is, if you are talking about spending in that sixth or seventh round range for a player, I just don't think there's one that is A, going to be able to get to the quarterback, or B, make a noticeable difference, where I do think you could find that player at running back for a very cheap acquisition cost. He's not making any money, probably still on his rookie deal. And I think you can take a noticeable step forward with a running game right now that, yes, the offense is fantastic. If you look at their top three running backs so far through the first 7 weeks of the season, they're averaging 3.8 yards per carry, and Patrick Mahomes is still their best running back, and we're at the midway point in the season. They need a boost in the running game in some capacity. So whether that's Breshard Smith taking over and getting more carries, whether it's Isaiah Pacheco, I don't care what it is at this point, but I still will maintain they need a little bit more of a punch in the run game. I just don't know where it's coming from right now.
So, to answer your question, I think I want them trading, using the more premium asset for a pass rusher. And I'm happy you brought up the Joshua Uche trade, because I would do something like that again this season. I also would tell you, I don't think the Josh Uche trade was a bad. I just don't know it didn't work in Kansas City. He's been better in Philadelphia than he was in Kansas City.
I mean, I'm with you. He virtually did nothing for the Kansas City Chiefs.
He's doing
next to nothing with Philadelphia. He has 11 tackles and 1 sack in Philadelphia. Now, I'm with you. He's certainly better than he was last year.
He's a fine rotational pass rusher. He's not a difference maker, but he's a fine player that situationally you can get the most out of.
So let me ask you this right now. Thanks for bringing him up. You're telling me right now if they trade a sixth round pick for Joshua Uche, would you make that trade? Because
yes.
You are the biggest on hoarding draft picks.
Yes.
I never met somebody likes to hoard more draft picks than you do.
Yes.
So right now you're telling me you would trade for Joshua Uche, a Joshua Uche type.
Yes. We can go back in time and we can use the Melvin Ingram example. Now, I know Melvin Ingram had, marginal statistical impact in Kansas City, but it was a player who helped the depth and improved your pass rush in Kansas City, and you gave up a nothing draft pick to do it. That's the kind of move I'm looking to make. Now, as far as D tackle, they need a body, but we actually see D tackle the same way. They need to find a Mike Pinnell type on the waiver wire. They need to find.
I guess my question would be is, why are they looking for a Mike Pinnell type when they had Mike Pinnell on the team and just let him go?
So I think
like for nothing. They didn't trade him.
Correct.
He couldn't make the team.
So I think it's two different conversations. I think they need that body, but we can have the conversation of, did they screw up by getting rid of that literal body? I'm open to that conversation because I remember at the time, and now I definitely am thinking it, why did you get rid of Mike Pinnell? He costs nothing and he has value. And now they have very thin depth. And I'm just using him as a waiver wire example. I would pick up a D tackle off the waiver wire and I would trade up to a 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th conditional, whatever, to get a Joshua Uche, Melvin Ingram type of pass rusher. I don't have the text line up. I'm sure they have some wild idea on how to improve.
I'm seeing some people
rush.
Throw out Calais Campbell as a player. I mean, Calais Campbell's 39 years old. So you're talking about just a hired gun at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If you go get Calais Campbell, he's on a 1-year, $5 million deal for the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are, they're the Arizona Cardinals. They appear like they're going to be out of it here very, very soon.
Yeah, the Cardinals, the other part of this conversation, the Cardinals kind of fit into a box that a lot of teams fit into. I think they're out of it, but their record would tell you they're not technically out of it. They're kind of in no man's land. Are they giving up on Calais Campbell while they sit in no man's land?
Are you making a trade for Calais? Let's say right now Arizona says they want a fourth for Calais Campbell. You making that trade?
Not for Campbell, no. I would rather take it.
I would say that he's one of the better options that you could possibly get so far this season. He's a proven defensive lineman. He has 3 sacks so far this season, and despite his age, he's been very, very healthy in his career. He played in 17 games last year, played in 17 games 2 years ago, and has played in all 7 games so far this season. Calais Campbell's not a bad pick if that's what you're trying to do. Now, I'm guessing that Kansas City will not be the only team that's very interested in Calais Campbell if we're talking about that they're going to go out there and look, guy on a 1-year deal, aspiring deal, maybe trying to go get himself a ring, trying to get to the NFL playoffs. So, like, I certainly think he would be one of those kind of players that would be available. I also just don't think he's going to be cheap to go pick up, but cheap by the trade standards.
I also would say I don't know the Chiefs like Campbell the same way the text line does, because how many times in his NFL career has Calais Campbell been a free agent and he's never been linked to Kansas City?
I would say that's the same thing for Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney has been available 6 times too. Chiefs ain't never brought Clowney in for a workout. Clowney ain't never been to Gates before.
Clowney only comes when he puts the opponent. And even then, the Chiefs don't dap him up after the game. Get out of the stadium.
Yeah, and then when it comes to some of these, now, I understand that, you know, what you potentially were looking for in April and May could be looking for something very different now. So I don't want to make it seem like just because they made this decision, I mean, they let Derek Nnadi go and then traded right back for him before the season began. But you could have got Campbell. He signed a 1-year, $5 million deal. If you were uninterested in this move a couple of months ago, why would you now be in a position where you would trade, I would say, a decent asset to go acquire that player? You could have had Campbell for nothing. He signed a 1-year deal and got $4 million guaranteed and a $2 million signing bonus. Campbell could be on a contending team right now for no money he could be on. But he chose to sign with Arizona. We all know Arizona wasn't going to be good this year. He did what a lot of old people do. They went to Phoenix to retire is what he did. You had a chance. He had a chance. A lot of teams would have taken that player on a 1-year nothing kind of deal. But he chose to go play for the Cardinals for whatever reason.
I mean, how much? To be fair, DeAndre Hopkins decided to play for the Titans for whatever reason.
We know what the reason was. They paid him.
Julio Jones made the same decisions. Like
everybody, that's actually where that's where old receivers go to die. They go play for the Titans.
They literally just cut Tyler Lockett. He was an old receiver.
They go play for them. I told you. I wouldn't lie to you. That's where old receivers go. When you're old, you're out the game. You go play for Tennessee. You go to what's that street they got? You go there for a couple of days, couple of weeks. And you go
Broadway?
Live your life,
Broadway
or
yeah.
Whatever it is. I don't know the street. But, yeah, you go there for a couple of weeks, and you're out the game. Can I read a tweet to you guys very quickly? This is from the Baltimore Sun. Is that the paper from The Wire? That's definitely one from The Wire.
I can't imagine The Wire used a fake paper.
I couldn't remember. I was trying to remember. So this is from the Baltimore Sun. After falling to 1-5, the Ravens have removed the players' ping pong tables, video game consoles, basketball hoop, and cornhole boards from the locker room. They took their toys away. This happened in real life. This probably happened to you when you were a kid, or this is what you do to your kids when they're not making the grades. Hey, I need your phone. I need your iPad. I need your Nintendo Switch. We ain't playing no games around here until you get your grades up. Is that not what just happened to the Baltimore Ravens? This is a 1-5 football team. These are grown men. Can you imagine one day you come into work and you know, we all have a place to kind of hang out, a community place, you know? Hey, we usually play ping pong here. We play a little Madden. We shoot a little basketball. Like the Chiefs have a basketball goal in their locker room. Can you imagine one day you come in there, you got a little bit of downtime, and they took the ping pong table away, the video game consoles away, the basketball hoop. What do you have to do to get it back? This reminds me one time Mike Krzyzewski did this when he was at Duke. Jason Tatum said that after a loss, he took the chairs away, and he said, you guys don't deserve to sit out in this locker room. This is a tactic to try to turn things around for the Baltimore Ravens. They got put on punishment. They got put on timeout. They got their video games taken away.
This feels like junior varsity, you know, big time high school football, college football type of punishment. Do we really believe that the reason the Ravens aren't winning games is because they're playing too much ping pong?
Too much ping pong
in the locker room.
Too much messing around.
A little too much Madden in their downtime. You're telling me Marlon Humphrey can't cover all of a sudden because instead of getting some extra reps in on the jug machine, he's sitting around and heading to the snack table? Like, the Coach Krzyzewski example is great. I remember there's a video from a few years ago, maybe more than a few years ago now, where Mike Leach, rest in peace, was at Mississippi State, and he took all the chairs off the sidelines and Mississippi State wide receivers don't sit down when they can't catch the ball. This is very college football punishment. It's not going to change anything.
When you're playing 1-5 football, this is what happens.
This is the same as when Romeo Crennel put up that sign and said, eliminate bad football.
Yeah, they haven't eliminated it in Baltimore, obviously.
It's loser, do nothing, but look like we're doing something fixes. No actual tangible results are coming from the ping pong table being out of the locker room.
You mean this is doing the least while simultaneously doing the most? That's nothing a football team loves to do more than that. Someone just texted in, text line 913-586-7965. Damn, those are the only games that the Ravens players show up for. It's a good one. I can't lie. That's a good one. That's a good one. You know how mad I would be if they took Madden out of the locker room? Hey, man, I just lost yesterday. I got to get my rematch back against Derrick Henry, and now you took the Madden out of here? Hey, coach, come on, man. What are you doing here? Put it back. Hopefully this motivates the Baltimore Ravens. They just had a bye week, so you've been out of the office for a couple of days. You're coming back. You can't wait to get a good game of cornhole with your teammates. And now they just removed it from the locker room? Come on, coach, this ain't right. I want to play this audio for you guys because right now we are at a crossroads. Now, you know, I'm not the biggest pro football focus guy, at least when it comes to the numbers. I kind of think when it comes to pro football focus numbers, you can apply it when you don't want it, or you can apply it when it's necessary, or you can put it down if it doesn't fit what you want it to say. Like, you can shape a pro football focus score to really say whatever you want it to say. A couple of weeks ago, Noel Williams was the number one ranked corner in the National Football League. I'm not saying Noel Williams isn't playing well, but we watched the league. You think he's the best corner in the league? It just didn't make a lot of sense. The numbers are off all the time. I feel like the last couple of weeks, pro football focus numbers have been a little bit under attack. So the Chiefs, they always play on these national televised games, right? So when they give their Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech, they then show you their pro football focus ranking. Patrick Mahomes was ranked like 14th on there. So everybody went mad. How can he rank 14th? How can he rank 14th? Well, this week it was even worse. I'll let Nick Wright tell you guys.
Pro Football Focus's quarterback rating system said on Sunday, Geno Smith played a better game than Patrick Mahomes.
Needs to be tweaked.
They published that. They put that out to the world. They said from a passing perspective, on Sunday, Geno was the 12th best quarterback in the league with a 67 grade. And Patrick Mahomes was the 16th best on Sunday with a 62 grade. It is that single fact means the way you're doing it is broken. There is no way to massage it or work around to where if in a game, in that game, you spit out the answer that actually when you really look with a discerning eye, Geno threw the ball better than Patrick, it means your system's broken.
I mean, I try to come up with my own takes, but sometimes it's okay for all of us just to have the same take. Like, sometimes multiple people just think and feel the exact same way. And I think all of us feel the exact same way about the pro football focus ranking this week. Now, I'm not here to tell you that we should never reference Pro Football Focus because I think they do a lot of good work. We've had plenty of people from Pro Football Focus on this show. You know, we love Sam Munson on this show. Known Sam Munson now for 15 years. So I got a lot of respect for Pro Football Focus. But I can't disagree with anything that Nick said. If your ranking system will tell us, I don't care how deep you are into football, I don't care. If your ranking system will tell me that a quarterback that was 10 of 16 for 67 yards performed better than a quarterback who threw for 286 yards and three touchdowns. Your rating system is broken and we can't trust it. There are some things that I think Pro Football Focus does a really, really good job of breaking down. How well your offensive lineman does in run blocking situations, how well they do in pass blocking situations, how good your defensive lineman is. There are some position groups that I absolutely think you can refer to Pro Football Focus on. But I think this is the problem that we encounter with a lot of these advanced metrics. At this point, you can find an advanced metric that can confirm anything that you think. If you think the Chiefs running backs are performing very well, you spend 5 minutes on the internet. I can find you some advanced stats to confirm that for you. If you think they're playing poorly, I can find you the exact same stats to show you the opposite end of the spectrum. Sometimes too much information can simply just be a bad thing. Sometimes, you know what? You just got to use your instincts. We all watch football. We all watch these games. We all follow these games. What are you seeing? I don't care what Pro Football Focus sees. What do you see when you watch the game? Some of you went to this game. Some of you watched this game on television. Maybe you just simply read the box score. There is no metric that you can convince me or tell me that Geno Smith played better than Patrick Mahomes did. And if that happened, you need to close the website down for a little bit. You need to bring everybody into the office that comes up with the computation on how we evaluate players, and we got to start completely over when it comes to quarterback. Maybe we don't got to start over at running back or wide receiver or linebacker, but when it comes to quarterback, we cannot evaluate quarterbacks this way because it doesn't work. It does not work in any capacity. So Pro Football Focus, I feel like these last couple of weeks, they've been taking a lot of arrows. And I would love to stand here and defend the good people over at Pro Football Focus, who I think do a lot of really, really good work. But I cannot defend this. No one can defend this. It goes against everything that we know about football. This is like in baseball. We always say, well, he's hitting the ball hard, but he keeps hitting it at people. That's a problem. That's a problem. What are we doing here? We go with all these advanced numbers to tell you a guy who's hitting 170 is actually hitting the ball well. No, he's not. But sometimes you just got to trust your instincts. You got to trust your gut. What does your gut tell you? And your gut tells me that Geno Smith played quarterback about as poorly as you could possibly play it on Sunday against the Chiefs.
Let me ask you this, and I am not here to defend Pro Football Focus. I do think people pick and choose when to like Pro Football Focus. This week, we hate it. Don't worry.
100%. Move the goal line with them every week.
In a few weeks, they'll say Jalen Moore is one of the best left tackles in football, and people will be like, look, PFF has Jalen Moore. We 100% move the goalpost. But how much of the failings of their grades are all the people you used to know and football fans used to know are no longer at Pro Football Focus? Like, you mentioned Sam Munson, and Nick talked for 3 minutes. I cut down to one. He mentioned Sam Munson, too. There was a time in Pro Football Focus and football media in the world where the computer would spit out one of these numbers. We'd all scratch our head, huh? And then Sam Munson would go on a media car wash and he would explain why it's doing what it's doing. So there was context. There was a larger conversation being had about the numbers. And even Sam Munson, who's very good at his job, would have a little bit of self-deprecating humor and laugh at himself and laugh at the numbers. Nowadays, do you know anyone who works Pro Football Focus? It just seems like it's an algorithm now spinning things out, and there's no context, no defense, no nothing of it.
I certainly understand and hear what you're saying, and I love Sam Munson. There is no explaining this. There's no explaining this. There's no way to dress this up. How can you explain your algorithm? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can only do so much. And if your algorithm tells you that Geno played better than Patrick Mahomes or played better than just about any quarterback in the National Football League, maybe other than Tua, you got to start over here. So I hear what you're saying. They used to have a face of Pro Football Focus, and now they don't have a face. And now that causes some of the problems. Well, the problem right now ain't the way to explain it. The problem is it doesn't make any sense. And we are used to stats that make sense. You shot the ball 5 times. You made it 1 time. You shot 20% from the field. I understand that. That's easy to understand. I understand that you went up to bat 10 times. You got to hit four times. You're hitting 400. That's great. It's fantastic. You struck that guy out six times. Great. Now we're getting to the point with these numbers that we have a lot of numbers that we all quote, BAPIP and all of these things, but the regular person has no clue what they are. They just sound good. Rob, how many times have you been on social media and you just see a chart with players' names on it and dots? I have no clue what I'm supposed to be looking at. I just see Mahomes over on this side. Oh, I guess that means he's good. I have no clue what these mean. And we quote these things all the time. You guys let Seth Kizer type one of these things up, some kind of Venn diagram, and you guys will believe whatever. Stop it. We got to start using real numbers again. And Pro Football Focus, they're not real numbers. They're just some algorithm. It's like football AI is what it is. Football GPT is what they've created.
I do think, at its core, I like the idea of Pro Football Focus because I feel like football more than the other sports falls into the does it pass the eye test conversation. And there is nothing worse than the eye test. The eye test is extremely subjective and not objective at all. So I like the idea that we are trying to apply advanced numbers to football so that we can, you know, have numerical data other than just, you know, I think he looked good on Sunday. That's not really how we should be doing it, but Pro Football Focus has massively missed the mark, at least the last couple weeks. And you're right. Some of these graphs, I like advanced metrics more than you. Some of them I look at and I'm like, his EPA versus, well, I don't get what I'm looking at, but I know the top quadrant is good. And that's where Patrick Mahomes usually is. It's a little bit too much at times.
Do you think being a Mariners fan is fun? I only ask that question because, I mean, the Mariners, they're a proud franchise. They had Ken Griffey Jr. back in the day, A-Rod back in the day, Randy Johnson, Julio Rodriguez. They've had a lot of great, King Felix. They've had a lot of great players over the last 30, 40 years or so. They really have. They've had a lot of great players. They're the only team in Major League Baseball that's never been to the World Series. Everybody else has been to the World Series. I feel like everybody else other than like the Pirates have been to the World Series like kind of recently, you know? I mean, the Marlins have been there recently. The Rays have been there recently. I feel like for the most part, most teams in baseball have been to the World Series in like the last 20 years or so. Certainly a great portion of them. Everybody except Seattle. Last night, they had to feel like they were there. They had a 3-1 lead in the game. 3-1 lead on the road in Toronto. You're thinking, man, this is finally it. We're finally going to go to the World Series. Nope, you're not going to the World Series. Nope, you're coming back home. You're going to watch it. Do you think being a Mariners fan is fun?
I think the answer is yes, because you're going to have so many great memories associated with those great players. But man, getting punched in the gut over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in the postseason has to get old quick. Like, they have the MLB record for the most wins in a regular season. They didn't do anything with it in the postseason. Not even this year. They had Ichiro's incredible rookie year. They didn't do anything with it. Like, I think it's fun because of all the jersey numbers in their version of the rafters or Hall of Fame, but man, nothing else to show for it has to be the absolute worst feeling.
Yeah, someone says, C-Dot, what do you know about a Jay Buhner? I know about a Jay Buhner. I know about an Edgar Martinez. I know about an Ichiro. That's a proud franchise in Seattle. Very proud franchise. They ain't got nothing. They don't have anything. They've never even been to the dance. Not once. You guys always talk about, oh, who would love to go to the World Series or Super Bowl and lose? The Mariners. At least you've been there. They don't even know how hard it is to get there. They ain't ever been. It's embarrassing. All right, coming up on the other side today, we're going to celebrate the return of the NBA. We got Steven Spector in studio. We're going to play a game. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, just for 10 minutes, I want to be three guys that are here talking about ball. We got Steve Inspector joining us in studio. We'll get back to football coming up in just a bit. First thing, Steve Inspector, is you are an NBA fan like Rob and I are.
Rob's an NBA fan?
He is. He's a Cleveland Cavalier fan, actually.
Okay.
Very puzzling to me as well.
All right.
First question I'd like to ask you before we get to the real reason that you were here, because you're also a college basketball fan.
Kind of.
Who was the college basketball player that you were just sure when they went to the NBA, it was going to work and you ended up being wrong? Because everybody has that player that when you're watching them in college, you're thinking, man, this guy's going to be really, really good. He's going to be a good pro. And then you find yourself like, how did that thing miss?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
I still don't really understand how Zion didn't turn out to be phenomenal. I still don't understand.
You don't?
I mean, I understand, but I don't understand.
He's eating himself and out of the league.
From the moment I saw him, I'm like, this is a much more athletic version of Charles Barkley. How is he not one of the 10 best players in the NBA?
I'm sure I'm forgetting someone, but Evan Turner comes to mind. He had a good NBA career, but he was so good at Ohio State. He did everything. Everything made sense about Evan Turner in the league, and he never lived up to being the number 2 overall pick.
I'm going to give you one that, to me, when he fell in the draft, I'm thinking, oh, you guys know what you're talking about, Justice Winslow. Justice Winslow was one of those players that made a lot of sense in college why it didn't work, but when you got to the league, it was like, okay, he's going to be a very good player.
No, because I watched that Duke team every game. He had a great NCAA tournament. And that's what happens. You get drafted on NCAA tournament and you never live out. I mean, I thought he'd be a better pro, but I never saw that in the regular season from him.
I'm a little surprised that Rob Dillingham isn't working right now in the league, too. He just was a walking bucket.
Can anybody name a Kentucky player who's good in the league moment?
All right.
Not from like the early Calipari days.
I got you. Yeah, it's been a while since they've had one of those
Wallace
guys.
Or Cason Wallace, he's can't even play.
It's been one of those guys. Rob, do you have a player that when you watched them play in college, you were just certain that guy was going to be a good pro?
Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
That's a good one. He couldn't shoot, though.
I thought he would figure it out offensively one day. I'm like, that guy's long, athletic, can defend. If he can just score a little bit, he'll be a guy in the league. He could never score.
We do love rangy 6'8 wing players. It is the best.
I still don't understand how Michael Beasley didn't, at a minimum, become Kristaps Porzingis. It was I've never seen a basketball player make playing basketball look as easy as Michael Beasley. The only one I would say is even close is Kevin Durant.
I don't think it was anything ever physical with Michael Beasley.
No, I'm 100% with you. But you know how some people are like, they are your favorite basketball player's favorite basketball player? That's who Michael Beasley is. Guys that hoop got all the respect in the world
for Michael
Beasley.
Probably a lot of dudes from like Texas, too.
I used to believe in an AC law back in the day.
He went to Texas A&M.
Yeah, I don't know.
TJ Ford, I also fell 100%. For it.
Yeah. He was too small.
You loved a Hollis Price back in the day.
No, too small.
You loved too small. A Hollis Price.
Ben Simmons is a good one.
Another player that I don't think it's physical. 100% mental.
Yeah, and he was so good in Philly the first 2 years, too. And then he gave up that layup in the playoffs.
It was
and
that was the end of his career.
Completely
That
over.
Was the end of his career. Yeah. All right, so this is what I have here. In celebration of day one of the NBA, you are a Duke fan.
Yep.
And Rob is a KU fan.
Is Rob going to be able to fill out a roster for I don't even know the game we're about to play. It feels like build your NBA starting five from your favorite college team.
Not at all.
Can Rob fill out a team?
No, that's not what we're going to do here. So you know what? I'm going to let you set the over-under for Rob. Rob, pull up the sounder for 30 seconds with the horn.
Oh, God.
I'm going to let you set the over-under, and we're going to see how many of the KU players that are in the NBA that Rob can name. There are 11 of them currently in the NBA. There are 11 former KU players that are currently in the NBA.
Two are starters, probably.
How many of these guys do you think that Rob will be able to name?
7.5.
All right, we're setting the seven over under at 7.5 here in 30 seconds. You know what? I think Rob's going to do it. You know what? I'm going to bet on my guy. I'm going to take the over under for Rob. I'm going to take the over under at 7.5. I think he gets 9.
I can legitimately think of 2 off the top of my head.
All right. I think Rob's I think Rob's going to think of more.
All right, Rob,
hit the music here. 30 seconds. I'll count you down. There are 11 current KU players that are in the NBA. How many of them can you name? On your mark, get set, go.
Christian Brown just got paid. Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid. Kelly Oubre is still in the league. Sfi is still in the league. Markieff Morris, I believe, is still in the league. Ochai Agbaji is in the league. Grady Dick is in the league. Is anyone else just still kicking around? Jalen Wilson's still in the league. Jalen Wilson's on the Nets right now. Anyone else off those title teams?
Got an 8. Got an 8.
I set the right line there.
Yeah, no, you set it at 8.
I bet I can name one that Rob wasn't thinking of.
All right,
I don't know if you even get credit for KU for this. The best dunker in the NBA, Johnny Furphy.
Johnny Furphy.
Furphy, yeah.
Absolutely.
Would Quentin Grimes have counted? I got kind of stuck.
Quentin Grimes did. He went to Kansas. He does count.
He played almost none at Kansas.
There's actually one more player that you guys did not name.
Give me an era.
Devontae Graham.
Devontae Graham's not in the league.
He can't be in the league anymore.
He was on the Hornets for a long time.
There's one more player.
Give me a clue or an era.
He got drafted in 2024. No chance you know. You're done. Who do you think it is? Drafted in 2024.
He's out. Oh, drafted in 20. It's not Furphy?
It is not Furphy, no.
I've been on that.
I hate.
You're going to kick yourself when I tell you the name.
I hate Steve Mikhailiuk. I hate that guy.
It's going to be awesome off that team I hated. Who was it?
Kevin McCullough.
Yep.
Kevin McCullough plays for the Knicks.
Yeah, he's at the end of the bench.
Kevin McCullough plays for the Knicks.
He was
yes.
more Texas Tech than KU,
those
but I get it.
Those are the 11 players from Kansas that are currently
NBA. There's 2 good players in the league from Kansas.
Okay, all right. Now,
am I wrong?
No, I'm just saying that. Now when the text line says, oh, Carrington, you said that. I didn't say that.
No, I said that. There's 2. Joel Embiid, you get 75% credit for Joel Embiid because he plays 52 games. And
Wiggins is a good player.
He's a solid player.
Yeah, Christian Brown's a good player.
Christian Brown and Andrew Wiggins combined for 1 good player, and Joel Embiid is 3 quarters of a good player.
Christian Brown's a good player. I can't believe you put me in a position I got to defend KU guys. Christian Brown's
a good
player.
Andrew Wiggins in, he's a rotational piece.
Jalen Wilson's fine. He's fine.
No. Who does he play for?
He plays for the Nets.
Okay. That's all that needs to be said.
He plays for the
Jalen Wilson cannot be good at the NBA. I'm sorry.
All right. No chance. So, Rob, now we get to turn things on Steven Spector here.
Oh, God.
There are 19 Duke players that are currently in the NBA. I want you to set the over-under, Rob. How many of these guys do you think Spec can name? There are currently 19 Duke players in the league.
I'm trying to think how many post-COVID that he wouldn't have watched.
All of them.
The problem is I'm so bad at this game under pressure.
I'm gonna say there's so many guys. I'm gonna say 9.5.
Oh, he's setting it at 9.5. I'll take the under on that one. All right, let's go ahead and get the music fired up here. You got 30 seconds to name as many former Duke players that currently are in the league. On your mark, get set, go.
Zion, Kyrie, Cam Reddish, Jabari Parker. I hate being on the clock.
This game's always easy when you play it on the podcast.
No, Paige. I know. I'm terrible. I'm just blanking. Cooper Flagg.
He counts.
Oh, Gary Trent Jr. Did I already say Cam Reddish?
You did.
Okay.
Don't matter. Get out of here.
This is not my game.
You didn't even do Knoppel. You had
you had Cooper a lot
Flag.
Of guys you could have won.
Knoppel's right there.
Malawak. I'm just not good at this type of game.
Okay, you ready? Grayson Allen, Marvin Bagley.
Grayson Allen's a bad
Marvin Bagley's still in the league. Okay, that's the answer. I thought Marvin Bagley was going to be the best player ever to come out of Duke in the NBA. He should have been so good.
Marvin Bagley currently plays for your Wizards. That's who he plays for.
I actually did know that.
That's basically one foot out of the league.
That's the same as Jalen Wilson playing for the Nets.
Yeah, that's one
that's your
foot
last
out of the
chance.
League. RJ Barrett, Wendell Carter Jr., Kyle Filipowski, Brandon Ingram, you name Kyrie, Jalen Johnson, Trey Jones, Tyus Jones, Luke Kennard, Derek Lively, who was turned into a very good NBA player, Jared McCain, Mason Plumlee, Jason Tatum, Mark Williams, and Zion Williamson. Those were the
real basketball players. You named a lot of real basketball players there.
All right. I just want to let you guys know that that was not
Jabari Parker. When you were answering, you said Jabari
Parker was a great college player.
He was
and the best high school player in the country at the time.
I actually kind of feel like he got kind of, you always say like some guys were like too early or too late. The league really started to change when Jabari Parker was there. Yeah. Like if he had played a decade earlier, he'd have been a top five player.
Yeah,
in the league. But the league got so spaced
out. His size hurt him at the end and he got a knee injury and he just never put it back together.
Speck, we appreciate you coming in studio to celebrate the start of the NBA season.
Just a reminder that Duke's the best college basketball program in the country.
Coming up on the other side, we'll play the national reaction to the beatdown the Chiefs gave the Raiders. Keep it right here. So drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.